And I'll just note that I appreciate your, noting the kind of diversity we have and in sort of many facets in Cambridge. It's one of our great strengths. It's a platitude, but it's true. And you didn't even touch on all of it. There were a lot of groups.
No, I
Yeah. So
there was.
I just want to say, and I know that's.
I'm focusing on two areas of diversity, and
Yeah.
within that, I just mentioned a couple of groups kind of
Yeah.
ad hoc.
Right. No, I mean, I totally understand that. I just want, just acknowledging that there was even more groups and more variety in
Of
terms of
course.
experience, and as you said, within
Immigrants
each of those groups.
are
Yeah.
incredibly diverse. You have people coming from 200 different school
Yeah.
systems around the world.
Not to mention the intersections of a number of those identities,
Yeah, they're largely overlapping.
and then there's gender and sexuality, and these things play out in our schools as well. Not always, but sometimes because of the way things are structured in terms of academic results at some points if we're not being a responsive school or school district.
So here I'm focusing actually very specifically in this question on academic diversity.
Yeah,
Kids
well,
on a line to Common Core, ahead, behind, with specific interests, with specific, the opposite of interests really don't like a subject. How do we manage that?
Yeah, well, I grew up in and then taught in heterogeneously grouped classes and schools that were structured in this way, where the classroom has full range of students in it. And research shows that kids actually learn best in those settings, kids at all levels, when it's done right, and we need our far too few of our teachers, even those who've been so excellently prepared and they're so committed, far too few of them have experienced or been prepared to teach in that kind of a setting. But that's the move, the direction we're starting to go at the high school, and I feel we need to go further. There's this, I would say intuitively, it feels to a lot of people, understandably, that, oh, the kids who are currently succeeding or that we anticipate are going to succeed academically or in Excel are going to suffer. They're going to become just tutors. They're going to not have opportunities to push themselves further.
Well, that's actually what's happening in classrooms. That's not a
I'm not,
perception.
it's not a myth that it happens, but it isn't the way it needs to happen, and it's not the way it happens when
It
it's done
doesn't
right.
have to happen, but the reality is that is actually what's happening. Kids are either
Well,
becoming tutors or doing worksheets that are.
so what I'm interested in is changing that reality. And I think the way to change that reality is to properly and adequately support our teachers and the others within the school to teach in those heterogeneously grouped classes, because what we've had are, in some cases, de facto segregated classrooms, which
Yes.
clearly means something's wrong, because ability to excel does not correlate to race or economic status. Now, as you point out, kids are coming into our schools at every grade, really, with different preparation, different experiences.
So
And I say at every grade because we have kids entering at higher grades, not just kindergarten. But the way that we work with them is to make sure that our teachers have enough support, both in terms of staffing, and that's, other professionals, that sometimes it's co-teachers, sometimes it's social workers, sometimes it's, having enough specialists in the various, areas, and, people to push in to support on math and on literacy and all of these
So
things.
I'll quickly ask a question, after you interrupt for a second, on two p notes, two points that you made. One is that track classes end up segregated. Leveled classes don't end up segregated. You end up with mixed age groups for different backgrounds. The second point is that we've spoken about having this sort of deep, rich differentiation. Since the start, it wasn't the innovation agenda. We've spoken about it for many years, but each year that we don't have this, another group of students, we fail to meet the needs of another group of students. So there's a question as to either how do we get there, if we are going to get there, and how do we get there in a finite time span, or what do we do instead if we don't? And if your answer is we're going to keep walking with standardized classes, kids doing developmentally inappropriate things if they're ahead or behind, that's one answer.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say that, but I was sort of saying that unless there's a specific plan to get there, I think a lot of parents increasingly have concerns because we've been talking about this for a very long time and we haven't gotten there.
I can't in 2 minutes, you know, or 3 or 10, lay out the entire program of how we would do it, how that would play out in each at each age level in each subject area, mm-hmm. because there are differences in how yes. this looks for 9th grade English. And how it looks for 10th grade English, even, let alone how it looks for, you know, math in grades 6, 7, 8, right? There are differences in the way this would work and the way it does work when done well. But there is expertise in this. So what we need to do is, you know, make it a priority that we don't simply eliminate tracked classes or whatever the terminology is that has been used for it, that we don't simply eliminate those classes and say our work is done. It does a disservice to our kids, and it does a disservice to their teachers, who are always going to be trying to do their best, but we need to help them build the capacity to teach in those contexts, and mm-hmm. we need to work with them to determine how this is going to play out in each of those contexts and to evaluate as we go. So I don't want to wait. I mean, my kids are going through these schools,
yes.
and I don't want them to go, you know, I don't want them to go, you know, one more year with things not, you know, the way they should be. I know that a lot of stuff takes more than a year, but we should be making that progress. So I can't like lay out every detail, but what I think is important is to have a perspective of we've got to work with the experts who are both in our schools already and the people who are outside of our schools. And we need to be, you know, involving families in this and helping people understand what it is we're doing and why mm-hmm. we're doing it and understand what their concerns are and make sure that we are addressing their concerns. Now, look, I mean, there are there are going to be people who want things to happen in our schools that we're going to decide as a community are not going to happen. You know, maybe we're not going to offer a particular, you know, program of study that we feel like, okay, it's beyond what we're going to support. We have different priorities. At times, I think people are looking for our schools to provide things that we are providing, but that they are unable to access, mm-hmm. or that we are providing, but they don't realize that we are providing. I think that is important also to help people understand kind of what the true picture is in our schools and, you know, some of that goes to includes a role that family liaisons can help play. It's a program that I think we can really bolster. We've got great people doing that, and it's a real asset. But I don't think we've gone as far as we can in like looking at what that program can provide and how we can support those people with a set of goals that we've worked we've decided as a community, as a district that we want the family liaisons to do. So I think it ends up being that everybody's doing good stuff and trying to do good stuff, but mm-hmm. it may be uneven, or it may be that there are opportunities we're missing to take advantage of what those people bring to the table.